This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings, and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program encourages you, challenges you, and blesses you. Those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can be re-listened to there. And you can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. That's Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. We'd be happy to take prayer requests as well as comments on the program. Now, we've been going through the Bible, looking at important people in the Bible. We've looked at a lot of the men, and then we spent some time looking particularly at the women and noting that women have an important part in the story of Christianity. They have an important part with regard to establishing the early New Testament church. And we have noted that while in the Bible, the Lord has a different function for men and for women. He treats them, they are important, but he treats them with different, gives them different responsibilities is the word I want to use. But the differences in function do not represent a difference in value. And I hope that any of you who are listening to me today understand that, that just because the Lord has given you responsibilities that are different from others, that doesn't mean he values you differently than he does others. And so it's important for us to, as the world would say, it's important for us to stay in our lane in order that we might be a blessing to others, that we might be blessed ourselves, and that we, most importantly, might be a blessing to the Lord. Now, the one person that we have not dealt specifically with as we've gone through these different people in the Bible who have had a great impact upon us is the Lord himself. And indirectly, we have been dealing with the Lord because he's the one who created all these people and gave them their responsibilities. And as I look at the Bible, the one thing I want to spend some time on in the next few programs anyway, is the way in which the Lord himself is altogether lovely for those of us that believe. I'm going to take my theme from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 16, where the bride is speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem, probably the harem that Solomon had. And she was asked, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And she describes him from his head to his heels. And when she gets done describing him, she says, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. And that's something that a true born-again Christian can say. I don't think that by nature we find the Lord very attractive. Many people before they're saved or born again feel that the commands in the Bible are very restrictive, and they see things about the way God operates in the Bible that they don't like, and they make all kinds of excuses for rejecting the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus as seen in the New Testament. But yet when we see our own sin and are honest about the fact that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and we're seeing that in our world today as we look at these wars, who can know it? When we see that that wickedness is in our own heart, and while we may keep it under control and we may do good to our fellow man, yet the tendency for all of us is to do things that we wish we had never done. It's easier to do wrong oftentimes than it is to do right. And so we are sinners in need of a Savior. We don't keep the commands of God. We are not a holy people by nature. We're more interested in the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the eye, and we're more interested in popularity and pride and all that goes with this world than we are in the Lord. And then the day comes in our lives when we realize that there's an eternity ahead and we're going to meet God. And the question is, how are we going to meet him? Are we going to meet him prepared to die, or are we going to meet him in our sins prepared to go strictly down to a sinner's hell? And so when we begin to worry about the penalty that we might pay because of our sins, we come to the Lord and find out that He loved us with an everlasting love, and God sent His Son into the world to die for our sins. He didn't want us to endure His wrath, His righteous wrath upon sinners. And when we come to see that the Lord died for us, then He becomes altogether lovely. And we can say, yes, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. And what I'm saying is that that requires a change in our attitude, a change in our heart. That's what it means to be born again, when we come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and we trust Him to not only save us from the penalty of our sin, but to preserve us and be with us in this present life. What a blessing that is. And so I want to spend time on the Lord Himself, who saved me many years ago, brought me to a point where I didn't think I could ever understand how one could know for sure they're saved. And then I found out that we know for sure we're saved when we take God at His word, when we believe what He said, when we believe that Christ did die for our sins. And so when we look at the Bible, the important person in the Bible is the Lord Himself. In the Old Testament, we read a lot about God, and then we read about Jehovah. And really, we have Jehovah being Yahweh, or Jehovah being revealed to us in the Old Testament. We do see the evidence of a triune God, even in creation. We're not going to go into that now. But Jehovah is the one who was revealed to the children of Israel, and they were to allow Him to be their captain. They were to allow Him to be the one that went with them through the wilderness and brought them into the promised land. It was extremely important for them to worship Him and Him alone. They were to have no other gods, the Bible says, before Him. They were not to make graven images or anything. And worshiping Jehovah was important. But when we look at Jehovah, we're really looking at the Old Testament Lord Jesus Christ in His pre-incarnate glory, before He was born into this world. This was the one who revealed God to them in the Old Testament. And now in the New Testament, we see Him as a man who is also revealing a God to us. And so in the Old Testament, we really have the prediction of His coming. And we find out that there are metaphorical, symbolic ways of understanding New Testament truth from the Old Testament. In other words, there's a lot of symbolic meaning in the literal history of the Old Testament, but it all reveals to us some aspect of the Lord. And so in the Lord, we have the first coming of the Lord predicted. The Jews did not understand that the Lord had to suffer before He could reign, and so when He came, they rejected Him. But in the New Testament, we find out that He came. He came as a man. He was born in Bethlehem's manger, and He came as a man. And then He died on a cross, and we find out through the teachings of the Gospels and the teachings of the Epistles that He's coming again. And the book of the Revelation is the rest of the story. As Paul Harvey would say, this is the rest of the story. And we find out that the one who died on the cross, and who Satan would say lost it all there, really gained it all there, because when He comes in the book of the Revelation, He's going to come as judge. And those who reject Him are going to suffer for it. Those who have believed in Him are going to be blessed. But if you think that the present situation in the world is bad, just make sure you're ready for the Lord's second coming, because for those of us who are saved, we have been delivered from the wrath to come, this period of wrath that's going to come on the world, which is going to be much worse than what we're seeing today. We've been delivered from that. We're going to be looking down at what takes place on the earth from heaven, and we're going to be saved from it. And so we're thankful for that, but the book of the Revelation makes it quite clear that the Lord is ultimately going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's going to destroy those people who have rejected him, those nations that have rejected him. So when we come to the New Testament, the first thing we see is the Lord being born, and we see his birth, we see his deity. And that's something that many people want to reject. Chapter 1 of John in verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so there was a balance in his life. He was controlled by both grace and truth. He shows grace to sinners, but he never gives up his truth as to what is righteous. And so we need to understand that. But the Word was made flesh, and the Word is really the way in which the Lord Jesus is described in the Gospel of John. He's the message of God and the messenger that brings that message. He's the Logos, that's the Greek word, but we find the power that there is in a word, and the Word is the Lord Jesus. He expresses God to us, and so when the Lord came as a man, it was so that we would understand God and who God is, because the Lord Jesus is God, the Word. That was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this Word that was God, it became flesh. It was born as a baby in Bethlehem's manger and dwelled amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we find that he was born, the Lord Jesus in his first coming was born as a man, and but he never lost his deity. He never lost the fact that he was part of the what we call the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But why did he come? Well, his purpose was to save. And so in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, we read with regard to Mary, "She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And really, it was the angel speaking to Joseph that we read here. "She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So he's come, and the word Jesus means Savior, or God saves, or it's the Old Testament Joshua, the deliverer. He's going to save his people from their sins. Pure and simple, God loved us enough to send his son to save us. And so when we look at the New Testament, then we're going to see fulfillment of prophecy. And we're going to look at some of that next time, because the fulfillment of prophecy when the Lord came the first time is one of the reasons why we have confidence in the Bible. There are many things that were written in the Old Testament years before they happened that were fulfilled in the New Testament. And we have, in many cases, more than one writer that showed that they were fulfilled. And so we can have confidence in the fact that the Lord was the Old Testament Jehovah that came as the New Testament Jesus to save his people from their sins. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We pray that if there's any who are listening that are not saved, that they will come to know the Lord and his saving grace at this time, as we commend ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen.